Thank you, everybody. Thank you. It's great to see so many friends in the audience this morning, and I really appreciate you coming out and working with us on a Saturday morning. Before we get started, I want to introduce a special young woman who I didn't expect to see this morning. This is my niece, Gigi, and and that is the color that my hair used to be before I got into politics. So it's great to be with you this morning. I want to talk about something that is going to seem less of a rah-rah speech, at least off the top, and talk about something I think is serious in our state, but it gets to the core of the concern of what we are dealing with right now in the larger body politic and in our state as well. The Republicans had an election on Tuesday night. They tossed out three individuals who we may disagree with on policy, but these individuals were called tax cheats and corrupt. And they were not. They were honorable people who were treated in a way that is symbolic of something that is going on in this country. The former female speaker of the Missouri House and the former U.S. attorney for this area was tossed under the bus. The former lieutenant governor, three-term lieutenant governor of this state, and a two-term Republican senator who brought their team into leadership, tossed under the bus. A businessman in this state who grew a business to $250 million and employed thousands of Missourians, tossed under the bus. Values that embody the Republican spirit, tossed under the bus, in favor of a guy with a machine gun who is a motivational speaker by trade and pledges to plow down government as we know it in our state. We've never seen anything like this happen. The blow-it-up crowd. The blow-it-up crowd is a plurality now within the Republican Party, but it has taken over speaking on behalf of the Republican Party. And we as Democrats, and let me tell you, I know something about the Republican Party. This blow-it-up crowd doesn't speak for us. But this blow-it-up crowd doesn't speak for a majority of Republicans either. And that's what I want to say here in a sense of fairness and honesty. The blow-it-up crowd does not speak for a majority of this state or a majority of the Republican Party. We tested on Tuesday night who it speaks for. It speaks for 35% of the Republican Party. But it is our job now to make sure that the blow-it-up crowd does not get a hold of this government and does not blow up this state. Because I take Mr. Greitens at his word that he may know how to blow up Jefferson City, but I see no evidence whatsoever that he knows anything about putting it back together. The people in this room are the bring it together crowd. This whole campaign is about taking the frustration that exists in this country and the frustration that exists in this state right now, but not turning it toward building walls or separating communities or taking out your machine gun as though that is going to fund schools or fill potholes, because it's not going to fund schools, fill potholes, or build hospitals. Our job is to take this frustration and to channel it into the only path that will work for this state. And that is bringing people together in a way that only bipartisanship and listening to one another can. Something really historic happened yesterday. Something that has never happened before in the history of this state. The Missouri Farm Bureau, which has spoken for agriculture in this state for 101 years, since 1915. For the first time in the history of the organization, endorsed a Democrat for governor of the state of Missouri. If you want to point to things that show that this campaign can bring people together in our state, tell people about that. Tell people about a gentleman who, I'm not going to use his name, because Rosenbaum's over here and he knows probably, he's going to be able to figure out who I'm talking about. But a Republican gentleman who is in Jefferson City, is in the lobbying community, works for a strong Republican organization, and who is suffering from leukemia as we speak, out going door to door for me yesterday in the heat, because he understands that this machine gun stuff ain't gonna bring people together. It doesn't matter, you know, I've never asked myself how many sit-ups my governor can do. I agree with the folks in New Jersey. It just doesn't matter. What matters is finding ways to make progress in the state. People are so frustrated that we have not made progress in this state, really since term limits came in. We used to have a very experienced legislature. There was great expertise that would grow up in that building, and you were on the Senate floor back in the 90s and the 80s, and if a big question came up around higher education, all 33 senators would turn around and say, Wayne Good, you've been here for 42 years, what should we do? If an issue came up around agriculture, they would turn to Jimmy Mathewson and they'd say, Jimmy Mathewson, lead us out of here. Criminal justice issue, they would turn and say, Harold Caskey, you've been here for 28 years, what do we do? And there was respect and there was expertise. Now we have a term-limited legislature that is young and always learning and always turning over. It takes a lot of them 2 years to learn the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. And I passionately believe that the solution to an inexperienced legislature cannot possibly be an inexperienced governor. That can't be the answer to our problem. Somebody down there has got to know where the Department of Revenue is. Somebody down there has got to know how the Department of Conservation works. And if it's not going to be the legislature, it's got to be the governor. The problem is, I mean, Eric Greitens it's not that he doesn't know what the solution is. He doesn't even understand what the question means. He knows so little about this government. Let me talk about a couple of issues that are important to the people in this room, and then we'll get out and start working today. Dr. Chris Nicastro is here. Chris, raise your hand. Chris Nicastro was the Commissioner of Education, was the immediate past Commissioner of Education, and knows as much about public education in this state as anybody in the state of Missouri. Let me remind people where we are with our higher education system and what has occurred over the last 15 years. In the area of higher education, this Republican General Assembly has cut 40% out of higher education in our state, nearly has cut it in half since the budget of 2001. Universities like Northwest Missouri State University in Maryville that used to receive 75% of their funding from us because we believed in collective public education. These institutions, rather than receiving 75% of their funding from general revenue, today receive 25%. We have sucked 50% out of their budget, and this investment that we are making in public education and higher education today is heading straight down, and it can only go so much further before it hits zero and before we as a collective people are out of the higher education budget. That doesn't represent what's in your heart. It doesn't represent what's in the heart of Missourians. And yet it is happening as we speak. Now to her specialty, K-12 education. K-12 education has seen 25% cut out of the K-12 budget in just the last few years. $500 million shaved in just the last 6 months alone. If Mel Carnahan was still alive and the foundation formula that began in 1993 was still in effect, The appropriation for this year would have been $4.5 billion, and it would have made an enormous difference from where we are. Today, it was not, the appropriation was not $4.5 billion, but $3.2 billion. This is the meaning of this Republican majority's governance today. But let me proportion what those cuts actually mean. It begins when 520-some school districts start to cut things like band. Okay? Then the next year they come back and cut art and drama. Okay? Then they begin to see cuts in things like teacher quality. And in the city of St. Louis and in the Boot Heel and in Kansas City, we're seeing an increasing number of substitute teachers who are occupying these classrooms because Kelvin Adams here in the city of St. Louis doesn't have the money to hire certified teachers anymore. I apologize for using this word, but that means these students are having a babysitter in there instead of having a certified teacher, which is what our promise to these children deserves. But after you've cut band and art and drama and teacher quality, then school districts around Missouri start to cut things like Fridays. There are 15 school districts now in the state of Missouri that no longer attend school on Fridays. Kids in our state who are only going to school 4 days a week because they can't afford to go 5 days a week. And these school districts came to the Republican General Assembly, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, and they said, look, either you got to send us more money so we can stay open 5 days a week, or you got to change the law so we can only go 4 days a week. And the Republicans said, okay, you can go 4 days a week. When we live in a globalized economy that is training youngsters like that one up for international competition and a knowledge economy, service-based economy, and our solution as Missourians is to cut the foundation formula by 25% and to allow our children to go to school 4 days a week, this has got to be a gut check moment for Missourians. We have got to stand up and look at the situation that we are in right now and decide if this is the direction we want to continue or if we want to change directions. And my God, I think we need to change directions and we need to do it now. Last point on investment in healthcare in our state. We've had a mighty battle down in Jefferson City for the last 4 years over whether or not to invest in our hospital system. Right now, we've got a hospital that's closing in rural Missouri every 8 months. And this Republican General Assembly, they receive a $2 billion check every year from Washington, D.C. to invest in healthcare in our state. And they take this check and they tear it up into small pieces and they flush it down the toilet uncashed. Now, we've got an $8 billion general revenue fund in the state of Missouri, so a $2 billion check is a pretty darn big check. Now, why do these Republican legislators do this? They do it because they're beating their chest, trying to send a signal of political pride to a guy who's only going to occupy the White House for another 4 or 5 months anyway. They're sending a signal of political pride to him that they don't like the way he passed the Affordable Care Act back in 2010. And while this political pride makes them feel good, it was not enough to keep open the hospital in Osceola. It was not enough to keep open the hospital in Mount Vernon, or the hospital in Farmington, or the hospital in Reynolds County. Nor will it be enough to keep open the hospitals that will close in the next 12 and 24 and 36 months, because the structure of healthcare financing has changed in the last 10 years, and these hospitals will continue to close. There are people in this room, I'm sure, who don't like your boss every day, but I bet you cash your check every month. We may not like the way the Affordable Care Act got passed, I understand that. But if the Affordable Care Act is here to stay, then we need to hold our nose and take the damn money and invest it. and invest it in healthcare here in St. Louis and in Kansas City and in Springfield and in Parma and Bernie and Cahokia and Tarkio and Harrisonville. Because it's going to create 40,000 new jobs in the next 6 years. And it's going to put economic development dollars and healthcare dollars to work in places that never see economic development help out of Jefferson City. You know, when a farmer in our state is out harvesting in August, and he has a strokes out in his combine in the hot August summer, there's a clock that starts ticking on him. His wife has got 60 minutes. First, she's got to find him. She's got to go out in the field and find him. Then she's got to get an emergency crew to him, get him to the nearest hospital, which can be 30 minutes away, 40 minutes away, get a needle stuck in his arm, get TPA injected into his body, into his bloodstream, in the hopes that it will get up to his brain and loosen the clot in time. If she beats the clock, he'll be back in his combine in 3 or 4 weeks. If she doesn't beat the clock, he may spend the rest of his life in the third bedroom. When leaders, political leaders, our leaders, in Jefferson City elevate their own chest pounding and political pride over that woman, over her family, over health care in our state, simply because they can take some temporary advantage in a 30-second television commercial, it makes living in our state harder. It is bad policy, and people should be held accountable for this. This election matters. If you care about women's health care, if you don't want to see games played with Planned Parenthood, this election matters. If you believe that the Missouri Non-Discrimination Act should be the law of the land, this election matters. If you believe in equal pay for equal work, this election matters. If you want to see Missouri go from the state that has nearly the lowest starting teacher salary in the nation, when we're only about 22nd on the list of rich to poor states. So if we're 22nd on the list of rich to poor states, how come we're at the bottom in terms of teacher salaries? It must say something, not about our incomes, it says something about the value that this Republican legislature places on teachers. If you want to see that changed, this election matters. And if you believe that collective bargaining has helped build a middle class in this country for the last 75 years, and you don't want to see these folks come in here with right to work, this election matters. I'm the only person in the state of Missouri who has served in the leadership of both of these political parties. As evidenced by the actions of Missouri Farm Bureau, as evidenced by the singular actions of people like the gentleman who's suffering from cancer right now that I mentioned earlier, who's out knocking doors for us in the heat, there is a chance that we can bring this state together. This blow-it-up crowd, it does not speak for the entirety of this state. It does not even speak for the entirety of the Republican Party. And so we as Democrats need to have big hearts and open minds as we go through this, because we've got a lot of partners around this state, partners that we've never had before, partners like the Missouri Farm Bureau, who are saying, we are fed up with the insanity. We need to get potholes filled. We need to get kids educated. We need to get hospitals protected. There is a way back, but it is not through that damn machine gun. Thanks, everybody.